I would sneak in the house. My wife would think I'm using the restroom, but I actually be watching porn. And I'd just be secret places just watching stuff, and it had got really bad. So everywhere you turn around, some form of nudity was somewhere everywhere. So I was like, I didn't see anything wrong with it, but the way I saw it was affecting my family and my wife, and I was like, yeah, it's something wrong. So
even when I find out, he would say that he wasn't doing it no more, and a couple of weeks later or a month later, I find out he's doing it again. I started to just look at myself like, maybe it is me. It's something that I should change. So I start putting myself on these random diets and all kind of stuff, just trying to change myself. But, you know, I just started blaming myself.
How am I going to compete with all of these different images that he has? And here I am, real, and I can provide real intimacy. And there's one thing you'll never get from pornography is real intimacy. Come in to meet and see. The only thing you're going to get is a picture. Pornography lies to you. Like any other addiction, it makes promises that it cannot keep.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Your World. Now, today we're going to talk about a subject that has affected so many lives, but is a topic that so few of us are willing to talk about openly, the epidemic of pornography. Now, it's a real problem, a disease that has invaded our families, our schools, our homes, and even our churches. Now, in a recent church survey, 50% of men admitted they were addicted to pornography. And believe it or not, 20% of women confess the same. Now, across the country, our children, some as young as 11 years old, are being exposed to pornography. And the addiction is all too real. Now, today, you're going to hear from a couple who have been driven to the brink of divorce by the effects of porn addiction. They are here to share their struggle, but more importantly, to find the help they need to break free from the grip of pornography. It's a story that may sound all too familiar to you. Whether or not you're struggling with pornography or have never even looked at it, believe me, this issue affects us all. I urge you to stay tuned. What you're about to hear might just change your life. Today, we're going to explore this devastating topic and bring real solutions where they're needed most, right here on Your World. You know, when Marcus and Brandy met 10 years ago, they hit it off instantly. But they had no idea that the plan of pornography addiction would one day threaten to tear their marriage completely apart. Now, after years of struggling to overcome Marcus's pornography addiction, without success, Brandy is now thinking of walking away. Now, though they both want to save their marriage, Marcus has so far been unable to escape the grip of this addiction. Now, today, we're going to get right down to the root of the problem and help them find solutions. Would you please join me in welcoming Marcus and Brandy to the program? Very serious issue in our world today. Pornography is a $1 billion industry. And you guys know some things. And we want to dig into your world. We are so grateful that you're here to allow us to come into your world. Marcus, when did you first get involved in pornography?
First contact, I was around maybe 12. I was sneaking around in the house in my dad's room and found some tapes, started watching it. And it was something new, so I was just watching it. And it kind of grew onto me. Then I would just actually watch porn like it was just a TV show. Like, I would just watch it on a daily basis.
How did Marcus's porn now, this addiction, how did it affect your ability to really trust him?
Well, at first, I really didn't know what he was doing, but I knew it was something, and I didn't really believe it was porn. I actually thought it was other women. And I remember one time he had just been in the bathroom about 30 minutes, and I was like, are you ever coming out? Like, what are you doing? But I could hear something. So when he came out the bathroom, I got his phone, and I went through the history, and that's when I discovered that he was, you know, watching the pornography videos and on his phone.
How has this affected your relationship and your marriage with your wife?
At first, I thought it didn't affect it. I thought it was just, she'll never know, because I was, like I said, I was hiding it, the lean history and everything. But I figured maybe she knew, because my attitude would change. I wasn't showing her the love that I should be showing her. I would be looking for something extra, or I would lie about certain things that I shouldn't be lying about. So it basically affected a lot. Like, I was living like a secret life, you could say.
So did that affect your trust for him?
Yes, because I was like, what is the purpose of this? And he was telling a lie. Like, I wasn't on that. I don't know how it got on my phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. So now I can't trust that if I do find something out, you'll tell me the truth. And then we could, you know, get to the bottom of it together. You know, I started just really calling myself an FBI and monitoring his behaviors. I discovered it was not just pornography, that it was like friends, and it led to other things. So with my trust, I don't have any trust.
And was that a fear of yours when you discovered that he was watching pornography? You felt like, okay, if he hid this from me, what else is he hiding from me?
You know, at first, my greatest fear in a relationship has always been like finding out that your significant other is doing something inappropriate behind your back. That's been my greatest fear, and I've always told myself, well, you got to stop being afraid of that, because it's going to come to pass. So when it did come to pass that he was sneaking and doing stuff, yeah, I started snooping even more. Like, I have access to go on his call details, and I would be on my account just going through all the numbers that I didn't recognize, writing them down and looking at the times, and I just started really searching everything, like his every move. If he say he was going to a store, I might even check the mileage just to make sure that he really went to the store.
And of course, we know you can't have a successful marriage when it's not based in trust, right? Marcus, how'd you feel once the revelation of this came to light and your wife now knows about it?
I actually didn't blame myself. It became like an argument. Like, we would fuss, and I'd be like, why are you checking up behind me, or why are you doing this?
The guilt trip?
Guilt trip, so.
Trying to make her feel guilty about what you're doing.
So,
yeah.
Putting it on me.
Putting it on you. And did you feel devalued to know that your husband's doing this behind your back and wondering, why can't you trust me with this? If you go to the bathroom and the doors are locked, did you ask yourself, why are you locking the door on your wife?
One time I picked the door.
You picked the door?
Picked the lock on the door, and I walked in, and he clicked off whatever he was on. He was like, I'm using the bathroom. I'm like, well, you was just looking at something. What was it? But I always been a pretty confident person. But as the issues just kept coming and kept coming, and even when I find out, he would say that he wasn't doing it no more. And a couple of weeks later or a month later, I find out he's doing it again. I started to just look at myself like, maybe it is me. It's something that I should change. So I start putting myself on these random diets and all kind of stuff, just trying to change myself. But, you know, I just started blaming myself.
Did you ever encounter feeling the pressure of almost competing with the pornography that he was viewing? In other words, you know, how am I going to compete with all of these different images that he has, and how am I going to ever be able to come up to this standard? Here I am now competing with images, and here I am real, and I can provide real intimacy, And there's one thing you'll never get from pornography is real intimacy. Come in to meet and see. The only thing you're going to get is a picture. Pornography lies to you. And like any other addiction, it makes promises that it cannot keep. I would be so bold to say going through the feelings of being devalued and having to compete with these images, besides the dieting, I mean, you know, you're married to this guy. Did you feel somewhat inadequate or insecure when it came to your sex life? Because it's like, I don't know if I can compete with this.
I never been like into watching those videos, but I was like, well, maybe I should watch it too and see like, what are they doing that's so intriguing to you that we not doing at home? So we did watch it, and I wasn't really excited about watching it. Like, what's the purpose of this? But it did make me feel like I'm competing with people I can't even reach out and touch. I have to be in fear of this image or this video being the reason that I fail at my marriage.
And most people that get involved in pornography, they're expecting this false expectation that you can actually have intimacy with a picture or with video, and you cannot do that. The consequences of how you feel after you engage into pornography. Talk about that.
Every time I've watched pornography and everything, it's just like afterwards, I would immediately be like, why did I do that? What was that about? Like, I would feel guilty. I would feel like down on myself, or I'd be sad and just ask myself why when I didn't have to. But then maybe an hour or 2 hours later, I go right back to it. But then I'm getting right back down. So it's like I had mood swings because of the fact that I would continuously be like, why am I doing this when I don't have to? I have a wife.
Did it affect the intimacy with your wife? Because already there's this one part that you can't share with her.
I realized it was me. As when I watched porn, I would feel down. Then when we would, you know, make love and everything, next thing I know, I'm thinking that she's with someone else because she's doing different things. So it was weird.
Did you find that your attraction for your wife was being affected?
Sometimes it did. Because I would be watching porn and seeing this particular person this way. Then when I come back home or when I leave from watching porn and I come back and I'm like, well, you know, it's not that person. So
what are some of the things that you have done to deal with it? Was counseling one of those things?
At first, when we went to counseling, I used to be afraid to talk about it, kind of embarrassed. And it's even been a couple of times at church when you actually say, men who have a problem with porn, you know, stand up, I'm going to pray for you. And I would shy back and be like, no, I'm not that guy. Knowing that it was me, she would even look at me like, go. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
I'm good.
And then I'd go home, probably pray for myself. And then I'd be like, well, I'm good now. And she was like, no, you should have stood up. But I was always embarrassed. I always felt like, nah, I don't have a problem. It's nothing big. But yeah, it always affected me as being embarrassed. Like, that was the main thing.
And of course, what did that communicate to you? It's like, hey, you don't really value this marriage.
I always told him, like, I think you're just afraid of what people would say if we, you know, got a divorce. So I kind of, like, hid it from people, but we've been separated. If this is what's going to result from you keep doing the same thing, that I keep it looking natural to our family and friends, but we'll just separate.
I don't know if a lot of people watching today would have ever thought the issue of pornography would endanger relationship and endanger their marriage.
A lot of people don't think that pornography is a addiction. They look at it, it's like, oh, it's cool, it's fun to do. It's just like watching any other funny videos or watching movies that have nudity and sex scenes and stuff like that. They look at it the same. So I asked him one time before, do you see this as an issue or are you just seeing it as an issue because I say it's an issue? That's the way I took it. Like, he didn't really see it as a problem. So he really not trying to get help. That he's just saying this to make me feel better.
Did you see it as an issue, a problem?
I did. I felt it was that way. Every way you turn around, some form of nudity was somewhere everywhere. So I was like, I didn't see anything wrong with it. But the older I got and the way I saw it was affecting my family and my wife, and I was like, yeah, it's something wrong. So.
For people who would think that it's not an issue, it's not only affected your marriage and separated from your wife, but have you had times where you had to sleep in a car or a van or something?
I had to move out. I was staying in a hotel, and then I was like, I'm not paying for a hotel no more. I want to come home. She was like, no, you're not coming in here. So I was like, well, I'm not leaving. So I slept in the van a couple nights, and it was cold. It was pretty cold. She wouldn't give me no covers or anything, but she gave me a pillow. But she wouldn't.
A cold night, huh?
But I started praying, and the Lord told me it was more people than me dealing with this, and I had to actually get that out because until I did that, I wouldn't be cured from it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Have you tried to be accountable to somebody, like a friend, a relative, a brother in the Lord that just basically says, you know, here's my issue. I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm going to be accountable to you. Have you ever had an accountability partner?
I have, but not for that issue.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was kind of embarrassed to tell anybody about that problem. So, like, any other issue, like, we had problems with each other or anything, I had someone, but I never had one for that issue.
But you value this marriage to a point that you would be willing to get an accountability partner now, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you're saying, like, embarrassment ain't got nothing to do with it. Now, my marriage, my wife, I love it more than I do my own self, so it's not about me. It's about my marriage and my wife.
Yes, sir.
I kind of feel like, you know, the last few steps that we've been taking kind of pushed me towards believing that this time he could really be trying to help, get some help.
Mm-hmm.
Because times before, he would go to the place, get counseling. They give him the steps, try this, try that. He'll try for a couple of days, then be back to the same thing. So my trust in believing that he was really trying to be healed, I didn't believe him.
What was this is the bottom line issue that just said, no more. What? How did this so affect you that it brought you to a point where you're like, I'm not doing this?
I didn't feel respected in my marriage, and I didn't feel like the friendship that we once had was valued. I just felt like he didn't value me, didn't appreciate me as a person, as an individual, not just a wife, but as an individual. He didn't respect me because if you know this is something that bothers me, why would you continue to do it? And then when it started to almost transpire into affairs, like I would see pictures of him, pictures in his phone of people and, you know, texts between other females. It's like this going too far because I didn't change my life. I did this when I was in the world, and I dealt with guys doing this kind of stuff because of the benefits that came with it. But now that, you know, I gave my life to Christ and I'm in a marriage now, not just a boyfriend, girlfriend, I didn't feel like those were the things that I should be going through because I've been through that. So it was like, if you can't change for me, maybe you will for somebody else later.
Did you think marriage would cure this?
I really did think it probably would have cured it, but I didn't make it no better. I really didn't make it any better. So it's like I didn't try hard enough on that part. So,
and so we know that marriage is not a cure-all.
I feel like a trick question. But
not a trick question. It's just and I appreciate that. Marriage, you know, a lot of times people get married to cure their adultery issue. They get married to cure they think it's going to cure their lust issue. They get married because they think it's going to cure their pornography issue. And what I'm saying is, when you got married, even if that was somewhere in your head, do you now know today that that's not the cure for it?
Yes, sir.
Did you find that pornography made promises of intimacy that it couldn't keep?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of a weird thing, but pornography could never guarantee you every single time the satisfaction. So did you find yourself having to go often to get involved in it to try? It's kind of like a drug addict trying to get that high. Maybe one time he may get that high and the next time he doesn't get it. So he's in a constant search for that. Do you find a similar thing with pornography?
Yes, sir. I even got to the point that I would tell myself that If I was going through something like mentally, or I feel like I'm mad or anything, that it was like a drug to me. Like it would calm me down. That's how I felt. I would sneak in the house. My wife would think I'm using the restroom, but I actually be watching porn, and I'd just be secret places just watching stuff, and it had got really bad. So
yeah, because pornography plants the seed, and it puts the desire on the inside of you, and then the desire moves you to try to bring that which is a fantasy and a picture to life. And the next thing you know, the very things you were looking at saying, there's no harm in this, I'm not hurting anybody, it's just me. Now all of a sudden you're a little open to doing things that you would have never been open to, but where did I get the idea from? Where did I get the thought from? And I'm just so proud of you saying what you're saying, and both of you guys sharing this, because I keep sensing there's somebody watching this broadcast who are saying, I do that, what's the big deal? And now they see it's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so true what you're saying. You know, you grow up, you look at it, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's one of those things that you figure, well, if I'm looking at it more than the next guy, not really a big deal. Yeah. And yet you're finding out, man, my life is being disrupted because I can't figure out how to find the off switch here to do this. And that's what lasciviousness is. Lasciviousness is a word that means no restraint. It's like I'm trying to find the brakes, but I can't seem to find them. And that's what happens when you expose your eyes to that. It's a demonic spirit that tries to destroy lives, and it tries to suck you into saying it's okay, I'm not messing with anybody, I'm not hurting anybody, it's just me by myself. But what happens, that's the plan of the enemy. He wants to take those thoughts, get it in your heart, and whatever's in your heart becomes your life. The thing you spend the most time thinking about is what you're going to be prompted to do. So her, not to say that we should walk in fear, but it's a legitimate fear, if you want to say that, the fact that it's a concern, that knowing that if you stay in that, eventually you're going to find yourself trying to bring to life those things that you watch. And who wants to go through that? It's almost like you're saying, I'm going to get out before I go through this. I had to go through this when I was dating. I shouldn't have to go through this when I'm married. I should have you. You should be mine. And everything about our sex life should be pure because you're mine. I shouldn't have to share you with any other woman, nor should I have to compete with images. You love this woman?
Yes, I do.
Look at it.
Yes, I love you.
Now, do you love her enough to do whatever it takes to get out of this?
Yes, sir.
Today, you're watching part one of a two-part special presentation as Creflo Dollar counsels Marcus and Brandy, a couple whose marriage is on the verge of complete collapse due to Marcus's untreated addiction to pornography and Brandy's helpless distrust. And join us with Creflo Dollar as he attempts to help restore this marriage next week on Your World.
Maybe like Marcus, you're at the end of your rope. You're fighting with everything you've got to break free from an addiction like pornography, and you just can't overcome it on your own. Or maybe like Brandy, you're the innocent bystander caught in the crossfire. Wherever you are, I want you to know that there is hope. There is strength and grace available to you, more powerful than any attack the enemy can throw at you.
And I would just actually watch porn like it was just a TV show. Like I would just watch it on a daily basis. I would just be secret places just watching stuff. And everywhere you turn around, some form of nudity was somewhere everywhere. So I was like, I didn't see anything wrong with it. But the way I saw it was affecting my family and my wife. And I was like, yeah, it's something wrong. So
I really didn't know what he was doing, but I knew it was something. And I didn't really believe it was porn. I actually thought it was other women. And I remember one time he had just been in the bathroom about 30 minutes. And I was like, are you ever coming out? Like, what are you doing? But I could hear something. So when he came out the bathroom, I got his phone and I went through the history. And that's when I discovered that he was, you know, watching the pornography videos and on his phone.
So did that affect your trust for him?
Yes, because I was like, what is the purpose of this? And he was telling a lie, like, I wasn't on that. I don't know how it got on my phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. So now I can't trust that if I do find something out, you'll tell me the truth and then we could, you know, get to the bottom of it together. You know, I started just really calling myself an FBI and monitoring his behaviors. And even when I find out, he would say that he wasn't doing it no more. And a couple of weeks later or a month later, I find out he's doing it again. I started to just look at myself like, maybe it is me. It's something that I should change. So I start putting myself on these random diets and all kind of stuff, just trying to change myself. But, you know, I just started blaming myself.
And of course, we know you can't have a successful marriage when it's not based in trust, right? And most people that get involved in pornography, they're expecting this false expectation that you can actually have intimacy with a picture or with video. And you cannot do that. I keep sensing there's somebody watching this broadcast who are saying, I do that, what's the big deal? And now they see it's a big deal.
Changing one life, time after time. Oh Lord, we do it all for you.
Through the trials I see, I'll always believe a new life starts with you.
Oh, change your world today. Change is gonna come your way. Change and get an understanding. His grace will transform you.
Well, I want to thank Marcus and Brandy for joining us today. It's hard enough talking about this issue behind closed doors, but to go on television to share your testimony takes real courage, which is why I'm so proud of you now to come and open up the way you're opening up, because I'm telling you, there are lots of people who are watching who can relate exactly what you're going through, what your wife going through, what this marriage is going through. Ah, man, I know you've been through a lot. It's been hurtful, painful. Will you forgive him?
Been working on it.
Been working on it.
I've been asking God to give me a forgiving heart.
You know, I believe that, number one, you already have a forgiving heart. And God has already forgiven you. And right now you're going through a process to be able to get to the point where you already are. To be devalued is almost like a betrayal. And God understands that, and God understands you. And when you have the heart of God, you have the heart of forgiveness as well. I have no doubt about that. But the process that you're going through, I think what happens is, as he begins to recognize how he is the righteousness of God, and you see his behavior change because he recognized who he is, it won't be any problem to look at this man that you love and say, come on, let's go and do what we got to do. But to feel like I play second fiddle to some videos, and I play second fiddle to some images, we understand the hurt and pain, and God does too. But I thank him that you're being healed right now. He has to build new history, brick by brick by brick. But I know you guys love each other. I can kind of see it and sense it. And you know that love is going to overcome a multitude of sin. And the thing you realize when you're going through, I know God loves me. I know God loves. Don't even give the devil an inch to try to get you to doubt God loves for you. Well, why am I going through this? Or how come I couldn't kick this? And why did I let this happen? God loves you. And because God loves you, you win all the time. God loves you.
Well, before today, I've been confessing divorce over my marriage every day. I've been sending him the steps to divorce, and I Googled how much it costs. But after today, I just want to make a commitment, open commitment to giving my marriage a chance and forgiving Marcus for everything that we've been through and everything he's done. I forgive you, and I just want to say right now that I'm committing to never mentioning divorce again, but focusing on ways to reconcile our marriage.
Well, up to this point, what have you done to, what are some of the things that you've tried to stop you from getting involved in pornography?
Numerous times I've got a lot of DVDs, throw them away, say I'm not watching it anymore. Try to do it on my own and just say I'm done, but it never works. So like, I'd probably be watching TV, like I said before, and wind up going online and watching something. The access was so easy, so I just go online and delete the history so my wife can see it and things like that, but it just never worked.
So basically, you were trying to modify your behavior?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you did several things to, well, I don't want to continue in this behavior. I'm going to, for the next 3 weeks, try not to do this, and for the next month, try not to do this. And did you find out that one more time became one more time,
exactly.
Became one more time, became one more time? And you looked up and 3 years have gone away, and one more time was never one more time.
Exactly.
If you were to go on the internet or go into some other places, I want to talk about some of the things people would tell you to do. I want you to let me know if you've tried that before, and then I'm going to get to the real solution. See, there's a difference between trying to modify the behavior versus getting to the root of the matter. The first one, feel the consequences before they happen. In other words, how you feel after you spend time in pornography, feel it before you spend time in pornography. Have you tried that before?
I don't think I have. I would always just think later.
And what would happen if, you know how you're going to feel afterwards? You're going to feel a sense of shame. You're going to feel a sense of disappointment. You're going to feel a sense of guilt. You're going to feel all those things. And what that step says is feel it when you're tempted and pressured to look at, feel all of those things right now. Okay? Another thing you'll hear is gain insight into how the porn addiction works. In other words, try to identify all of the things that would make a perfect situation for you to get into it. For example, do you find yourself going to porn when you're stressed? Do you find yourself going to porn you're depressed or when you are alone? Or are you more tempted when you know your wife is not going to be there and you're going to be by yourself, so now this is an opportunity?
Yes, sir.
Identify all of the conditions, the situations that move you into going to porn right away. Why? Because when you begin to recognize that here is a situation, a condition that I'm looking at in my life, I'm saying, all right, I need to do something right now, because normally when I'm feeling stressed, this is what happens. So now I'm going to choose to do this rather than pornography. I'm tired right now, so I need to, in other words, I'm going to go find something better to do and more interesting to do versus pornography. Because I guarantee you, every man that struggles with pornography, I guarantee you his solution has been, I'm going to throw something away. But then they end up going and buy it again. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get rid of all the pictures, I'm getting rid of all the videos, and that lasts for a couple of months. And then, you're back in it again. And then, I'm just one more time. And then one more time, just one more time. This is going to be the last time, because you're searching for that ultimate high again. So that was number two. Here's a third one I found was very interesting. Go do something more interesting. What is it that you can do? You talk about coping skills. And how do I cope with this? You got to have a coping skill or something that you use to cope with a situation, whether it's stress, anger, whatever. But what some people try to do is to get rid of all coping mechanisms, and they don't have a coping mechanism. So if pornography is your way to cope with something, then let's replace that with another coping skill that you can implement in that. Now, these are, things to think about. I'm getting down to the nitty gritty of it, because I want you to compare what you're hearing now with the very root of what I'm going to share with you. Have you discovered that fantasies do not make the reality go away? The fantasies of pornography, they don't make the reality go away. In other words, if you're depressed and that moves you to watch pornography, after you finish, it's still there, right?
Yeah, it is.
So fantasy doesn't make the reality disappear.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't.
And you're telling me you know that for a fact.
Yes, sir.
Now, a couple of more, and then we'll get to the bottom line answer here. get education. How you been doing that? Of course, the counseling probably was designed to educate you, so you are now aware of the dangers of pornography. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then finally, before we get to it, is get protected. What does that mean, get protected? You know your temptations better than anybody. You might not be able to have a phone that doesn't have the devices that block you from getting to certain things. You might not be able to use this particular iPad or this particular computer. You might not be able to go to that particular store. In other words, will you protect yourself to put up certain boundaries? You have to build boundaries. There's just not really going to be, there's not going to be good success if there are not boundaries that are built so you can identify when you see yourself getting closer to that boundary or to that fence, you know, whoa, horsey, back up a little bit. So are you aware now of the areas where you need to start building boundaries?
Yes, sir. We've actually been talking to and she was just actually enlightening me on certain things, like just to help me as in stopping it as well. Like she's given me scriptures, and that also now when I go to the restroom, I don't even take a device with me to the restroom. I just make sure, hey, I don't want a phone with me at all. I leave the door unlocked. So she don't come anymore, but.
Yeah, go up in there sometime, even when the door unlocked.
I might not come in, but I stand outside.
But yeah, I don't take a device with me anymore or anything like that. I'm just, as you're saying, protecting yourself is in trying not to have those things, like certain apps I used to have on my phone, I just took off completely. I don't have social media anymore. Like, there's a lot of things that I used to have I'm trying to stay away from because I just feel like it's a little temptation that'll actually bring back, so.
Let me tell you the root here. Yeah, I've been waiting for this throughout the whole program. You both are familiar with the Word of God. Romans 6:14 says that we are no longer under the law. We're under grace. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're no longer under the law, but under the grace of God. So now that's a huge key. The key is under the law, you're going to sin. Under the law that says do good, get good, do bad, get bad. Under the law that says you through your performance, you have to do that in order to be free from this. You, through your effort, you have to do that in order to be set free from this. Okay? It's all about your deliverance under the law is all about what you do. In other words, under the law, you got to do something in order for God to deliver you. And I guess for some people that may work for a while, but now I'm talking about real root deliverance. And here's what I know. Under grace, which says it's not what you do to get free from addiction, but it's what Jesus has already done to get you free from addiction. He's already delivered you 2,000 years ago. He has already delivered you from pornography 2,000 years ago. Now, follow me very carefully. You know, every time you get involved in that act, you have to be careful because the devil will start telling you, how are you going to talk to God? What kind of Christian you think you are? How you figure you going to have anything to do with the Holy Ghost after you've done that? Now, here's the problem right here. When you can be talked out of your identity and when you can be convinced that you're not righteous, you won't do righteous. So under grace, the first thing you have to do is I am the righteousness of God. And because I'm the righteousness of God, I do not have to watch pornography. Now, watch what I'm saying, because there was a kid one time, I told the kid this, he was so addicted to weed. It was messing with his brain cells. He couldn't think right. He couldn't keep a job because they do the tests and he'd always get caught and lose his job. I said, every day I want you to say, I'm the righteousness of God. And they said, what is that going to do? See, because people are looking for ways to modify your behavior. I said, just say it. Say, every day I'm the righteousness of God. And I said, and every time you're tempted to smoke weed, say you're the righteousness of God. And I don't care what happens, you say you're the righteousness of God. And if you end up smoking weed, say you're the righteousness of God while you're doing it. Do you know that kid called me within like a month and said it's been 30 days since he's touched weed, and then two months, and he hadn't touched it in 3 months? I said, what happened? He says, I really believe I'm the righteousness of God. See, once you believe your identity, once you believe you're righteous, you'll do right. But if you try to do right to be righteous, you follow what I'm saying? That's where the whole world's missing it. We believe we are who Jesus made us first. I'm the righteousness of God. Once I believe I am the righteousness of God, I don't want to do this anymore. Because what happens is every time I get the computer, every time I get the iPad, every time I get the book or whatever it is, the video, you're thinking, I don't want to do this. Why? Because I have conceived in reality that I have been made righteous. I am righteous. And so now what's happening? I trust this grace in my life. I trust God in my life. So that blows my mind. So if I believe I've been made righteous, if I believe I'm righteous first, then I'm going to do righteousness. Now, look at what he said in Romans 6, 14. He says, under the law, you're going to sin. But under grace, you're not going to sin. That just simply means under grace, I've been made righteous. Not because of what I did. Not because of my performance. Not because of my self-effort. But because of what Jesus did. And all of a sudden, I got my eyes and focus on Jesus. I am righteous because of Jesus. Not because of me. And my heart is filled with such appreciation and such love. What happens? You're given the Holy Spirit now an opportunity to move on your behalf so that you can see the manifestation of your deliverance from pornography that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. So I'm sitting here on this set telling you right now, you have already been delivered. All you have to do is accept I'm the righteousness of God and accept as the righteousness of God, I've already been delivered, instead of trying to modify your behavior by all of the things you can perform and all the things that you can do. And it never stops, because even if you can modify your behavior for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and you've not yet convinced yourself that you are who God says you are, then the 6 months, you're going to be dabbling around at it again. And then 6 months gone down the drain, because you're trying to modify your behavior instead of recognizing who you are. So based on how we behave, then we say, well, I must be like that. Look at my behavior. No, turn it around. This is who I am by faith in Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God. And now who I am determines what I do. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to accept who I am. As a Christian man, you are the righteousness of God. As a Christian man, you are the delivered of God. So now here's the spiritual warfare. Here's the new battle. And here's how you should fight it. I've already been delivered because I'm the righteousness of God. I am the delivered, protecting myself from the bondage. So the bondage is going to try to come. And every time it comes, you say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not interested in bondage. Oh, I'm not interested in pornography. I'm the righteousness of God. I want to please my wife. I'm the righteousness of God. See, you're not having to please God. He's already pleased with you. Get a hold of that. He's pleased with you. He loves you. He's accepted you. Even when you're in there watching those videos. Here's the thing that'll get you. God loves me even when I'm doing that. I don't want to do that no more, because I realize how much I'm greatly loved. I am the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, you're going to use this in every counseling session you have with other people who are struggling in this area, because you know you've been made righteous. This changed my life. This delivered me from guilt, shame, the pressure of trying to perform, trying my best to be all I thought I was supposed to be. I'm so free. I'm free. I'm the righteousness of God. And you know what it does? It just makes you want to do right. You don't have to think about it. It's automatic. I'm the righteousness of God. I want to do. God will change your desire. And you're going to look in the mirror one day and say, whoa, I don't even want this. You'll call your wife, baby. Do you know I ain't looked at pornography in the last year? I don't even miss it. And you focus all of your attraction on her. When I don't feel good, I got a wife. I got a beautiful wife I can go to. I'm not going to allow these other things to take my place. How am I going to do that? I'm going to remind myself who I am. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. That needs to be in your vocabulary, and you need to log a million, I'm the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, I'd like to do just to keep you both in remembrance of this grace covenant that we're operating on. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. I want to present to Marcus and you, Brandy, I want this covenant that says, present it on this day to Brandy Lawrence Robinson and Marcus Robinson. And it says, I, Brandy Lawrence and Marcus, accept this grace covenant provided to me by Creflo Dollar and agree with the following statements. I believe Jesus loves me and nothing will ever change that. I believe that grace in the person of Jesus Christ has already provided everything I will ever need to have a healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. I believe everything in my past is in my past. Jesus has chosen not to remember it, and neither will I. I will daily proclaim I'm the righteousness of God, like I wrote this for y'all, huh? I will daily live by the belief of understanding grace empowering change to better equip myself for success and to better serve those individuals around me. And I will daily flood my life with the word of God and the praise of his saints. And we're going to sign this, the righteousness of God. You'll sign your name above the righteousness of God, and I'll sign my name. And I just believe with all my heart, this is your point of contact. It keeps you in remembrance what we talked about. I got a pen. I can sign it right now. I got a pen. I can sign it right now. I'm going to sign my name right here because this is so significant. And then you sign your name above the righteousness of God. Marcus and Brandy's story is not an uncommon one. Pornography has infected our culture like a cancer. It affects us all. At times it seems impossible to escape, but let me tell you right now, it isn't. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Now, next week, we're going to continue this series by taking a look inside the pornography industry. We'll be joined by a very special guest, a woman who has seen firsthand the horrors of this business. And once again, we'll discover the tools necessary to climb out of a life bound in sin to step into the life of grace and the glory God wants us to have. Don't forget, if today's conversation struck a chord in your own life, or if you know someone who needs to hear what we're saying, I encourage you to pick up the phone and receive this life-changing collection today. Watch this.
With instant access through the internet, the addiction of pornography now affects more than 150 million homes every year in America. Today, you met Marcus and Brandy, who made the decision to reveal the issues in their relationship generated by this addiction in an effort to restore and save their marriage. Marcus's helpless addiction to pornography caused his wife Brandy to feel unloved and inadequate. But she, and so many others like her, are not alone. Maybe you or the one you love are suffering from a similar addiction, with a loving and lasting relationship seeming far out of reach. But pornography, drugs, and alcohol are not the only types of addictions that can put a strain on your marriage. Gambling, video games, and even excessive shopping can pull your family apart. In today's two-part message, Freedom from Pornography, Creflo Dollar shares simple and practical solutions to safeguarding your spirit, your mind, and soul from addictions that threaten your relationship. Are you ready to take control of your situation? For just $35, you'll receive more than 5 hours of biblical wisdom with Creflo Dollar's 4-CD series, Grace Deliverance from Pornography and Addictions. This series is guaranteed to uncover the addictions in your life and offer freedom for you or for those you love. But wait, there's more. When you call right now, you will also receive today's interview, completely uncut on DVD. Join Creflo Dollar as he counsels this couple through their struggle with pornography that has their marriage at terrible risk. In this special offer, valued at more than $50, you will receive the 4-CD series, Grace Deliverance from Pornography and Addictions, as well as Creflo Dollar's 2-part series, Freedom from Pornography, all for only $35. And your love gift will directly support this ministry's efforts to bring hope and provision to lives in need across the world. from providing food and clothing to poor families in America, to empowering communities from Kenya to Thailand with key essentials, and to helping women of all ages escape the street and sex trafficking through Prestige. Creflo Dollar Ministries is on a mission to bring hope to a hopeless world. When you sow your seed into this ministry, you're joining an army of believers who are changing the world every day. Experience the power of love and forgiveness today. Call now.
I want to thank you for watching the broadcast. Now, each day and every week as I come into your home by way of this station, it is my hope that this program has been a blessing to you and that it has added value to your life. I want you to know that I'm committed to this work, to tell this vision about God's grace that He's placed in my heart for you and that can change the world. And to accomplish this great mission, I need your help. First, I need to hear from you. I need to know if this program has added value to your life. Just take a moment and call the number listed right here on your screen and let me know. And two, when you call, please consider making a financial commitment to help me keep this broadcast running right here on this station, where I can continue to bring the value of God's grace to you as you and I continue to do this work of ministry together. So, take just 60 seconds and let me know you're watching and that you're able to help. If I don't hear that this program is adding value, then certainly we want to place the financial commitment that this station requires elsewhere so that God can do what He wants to do through this ministry. Your support is so appreciated, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing God to use you today.
We thank the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries for making this program possible.